It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we remember a fading tradition and a woman who was passionate about keeping that tradition alive.
But if I can make the world more creative and they understand our heritage, if they have a better understanding of it because I can share that with them, I'll think I've done something pretty special.
We'll have that story coming up in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A West Virginia state trooper has been indicted on federal charges stemming from the use of excessive force in November. Dave Mistich has more.
A federal grand jury has indicted former Trooper First Class Michael Kennedy for deprivation of rights under color of law. Dashcam video of the November 19th incident in Martinsburg was released Thursday by the Berkeley County Prosecutor's Office. That video shows a 16-year-old white male, whose identity has not yet been released, being kicked, punched, and thrown by Kennedy. Law enforcement had been in a high-speed pursuit before the suspect's vehicle struck a sheriff's department cruiser before crashing again and coming to a stop. An internal investigation by the West Virginia State Police led to Kennedy and another trooper being terminated. If convicted on the federal charges, Kennedy faces up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
It's not every day that you meet someone who's turned their hobby into their livelihood and that they still pursue it with passion. But Jane Gilchrist was that person. She was a hand weaver in Harrison County who turned her love of fabrics into a business. She was able to preserve a craft that hadn't been a necessity since the pioneer days in Appalachia. So it was with great sadness that we learned that Jane passed away March 8th. We were fortunate enough to spend the day with Jane in mid-January, learning about her love and passion for those old-fashioned wooden looms. Our Folklife reporter, Caitlin Tan, has the story.
Just off a narrow neighborhood road in Stonewood, West Virginia, is a small brick store with a sign called Loomy Lady Hand Wovens. Inside, Jane Gilchrist shows me her weaving workshop.
This is pot holders. I've got mug rugs on these three looms. This loom is a Hammett loom. It's called a school loom. This is called a tri-loom. So basically, it's a triangle.
Jane's been pursuing the art of weaving for almost 2 decades, but it only recently became her main source of income. When she weaves, she sits on a sheepskin-covered bench facing the loom. She's also barefoot, as the loom's pedals, also known as treadles, are close together and shoes can get in the way. Jane is artsy in nature. She wears a green top patterned with teal petunia petals. Her nails are painted a rouge pink. Tall shelves that almost touch the ceiling are filled with colorful yarns. A hand-woven baby blue coverlet blanket with little white flowers is on display. In the corner are some of Jane's pot holders and scarves for sale.
So this is the overshot pot holder. I'm doing this in a real pretty earthy green with a natural warp.
This small shop is also Jane's space for creating. In the center of the room, there are 3 wooden looms and 1 table loom hanging on the wall. They're all no bigger than a desk, and each loom holds a different project. Several looms even sit folded up in the corner.
And when I pass it over, as I step on the treadle, based upon the way I've threaded this loom, on which of the shafts or harnesses raise up.
Now, that might have sounded like a foreign language. Essentially, she's describing how she's threading the colored yarn through a base of tightly strung yarn to create a pattern. So when she steps on a treadle, a layer of the tightly strung yarn lifts up, allowing her to thread the colored yarn through, which with enough threading creates a tightly woven item, like a pot holder. Jane grew up in Ohio with 8 other siblings and not a lot of money.
I was the next to the youngest, and I just always kind of felt like I was lost. I was the little fat kid without a lot of friends and middle of nowhere living on a farm, and I was pretty lonely.
But she made friends with a woman who was quadriplegic, although she had some use of her arms. This woman introduced Jane to weaving.
So she had a big rug loom, and she made rugs, and I sat next to her, and I got introduced to weaving. I always knew someday I wanted to be a weaver. That just felt right to me.
It feels right because it's her happy place. Jane says it's a repetitive motion that's relaxing while still requiring focus.
I don't have time to sit and think about what is or isn't, or the good or the bad, and dwell on things I can't change or I can't control.
She later learned that weaving was also part of her family's history. She has record that her great-great-grandfather used weaving as a source of income during the long, cold West Virginian winters. Jane says weaving was essential in the early settler days in Appalachia, as it helped create cloth for clothing and blankets, items that weren't yet available in the rural region. But as clothing became more available during the Industrial Revolution, weaving became a lost art.
It went from being an essential that you have to do this to being a hobby.
So Jane does her part to help keep an Appalachian tradition alive.
And when I sit down at one of those looms and I start creating a piece of cloth, I feel connected to the place of my ancestors. I feel connected to the people that have come before.
Over the years, Jane has become a reputable weaver. She's part of the Tamarack Foundation, an organization for professional artists that's not easy to get into. She's able to sell some of her products, like the potholders, through Tamarack. She also has her master's in education, so she's developed several weaving tutorials for classroom settings. In fact, about 60% of her income is from teaching weaving. But her biggest claim to fame is something she calls
Mug Ruggin' It.
That's Mug Ruggin' It, as in a rug for your coffee mug. Get it? Jane teaches Mug Ruggin' as an informal class at several West Virginian art festivals and fairs, where people can weave a rug for their mugs. It's a spin-off of a traditional Appalachian rag rug, just downsized. Over the past 5 years, Jane estimates 3,000 people have been through the Mug Ruggin' It program.
I hope someday when I'm old and decrepit and I'm walking down through a craft show or a flea market, or I'm out somewhere and I see somebody who's got their wares for sale, and I say to them, "Where'd you learn to weave? What'd you do this?" And they say, "Oh, well, back in, I went to the Vandalia Festival and there were these people that came by and they set up these looms and I did this thing called Mug Ruggin' It and I fell in love with weaving."
Jane tries to keep her weaving as traditional as possible. She's even learned to dye her own yarn as well as spin her own wool, which she's dedicated a decent amount of her living space to, with a full-on yarn dyeing station set up near the laundry room and a wool spinner near the TV. The art of weaving is her life. Some people might caution turning a hobby into a livelihood, but it's not work for her. Jane says she knows she's never going to get rich off it either, but that's okay.
But if I can make the world more creative and they understand our heritage as we get further and further away from those existence days, if they have a better understanding of it because I can share that with them, I'll think I've done something pretty special.
Jane says weaving as a profession in Appalachia has its challenges, as it's such a large region with many rural stretches. Other weavers, as well as some of her own customers, are at least an hour drive away. But she says she wouldn't have it any other way, as she's Appalachian through and through and couldn't imagine weaving anywhere else. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Harrison County.
The team at West Virginia Public Broadcasting would like to offer its deepest sympathies to Jane Gilchrist's family and friends. You can find photos of Jane's work at wvpublic.org. This week, our Song of the Week comes from singer-songwriter Mark Bates. In his song, Bates weaves a heart-wrenching tale about aging, reflection, regret, and loss.
Well, she's 83 and her dog just died. The debt collector called and he made her cry. Now she lives alone in her double wide. She's got a Chevy Cavalier she can't drive. She told the debt collector, "My puppy Ginger's dead. She got cancer in her jaw, I couldn't pay the vet." She said, "Is there anything that you can do?" He said, "We've already done too much. much for you. And she stares at Ginger's ashes as the thunder rumbles, and her prayers drift off into angry mumbles. She never had a husband, and her sister is dead. Her dream of paradise has left her short of breath. She's got a girl who cleans her house for free from a church down the road called Galilee. And when her check comes from Social Security, she says, how can I pay for my groceries? 1949, she was 16 years old. And her dad mined coal. And the world grew like vines around her dreams. She's never flown in a plane or felt the ocean breeze. She stares at Ginger's ashes as the thunder rumbles, and her prayers drift off into angry mumbles. She never had sister is dead. Her dream of paradise has left her short of breath.
Again, that was the Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Ginger, from singer-songwriter Mark Klein's Bates. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lelaina Price here in the studio with Chuck Roberts, our CEO.
Good morning.
We are launching the Spring Protect and Sustain campaign for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And we welcome you to our campaign, and we hope that you will consider becoming a sustaining member. We are looking for sustainers. We need people to support us for the long term. This is our Protect and Sustain campaign. That was a beautiful song, and we celebrated a beautiful life this morning in our news coverage. I'm going to hand it over to Chuck now to tell you more about that.
Good morning, and we thank Caitlin Tan for weaving that story into our lives, and we thank Jane Gilchrist for sharing her life and her work with us here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and I'm sure her family is so appreciative for Caitlin Tan and West Virginia Public Broadcasting for preserving that story for years to come for people to understand.
Absolutely.
Caitlin Tan is part of our new initiative that West Virginia Public Broadcasting has launched that focuses on the award-winning Inside Appalachia radio and podcast program to shine a light on folk life, arts, and culture. The Inside Appalachia Folkways Project is going to expand reporting of Inside Appalachia across a 6-state region of Appalachia, including West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, and the Appalachian areas of Ohio. Jessica Lilly, host of Inside Appalachia, is that project's full-time project director, and she's joined, of course, by Caitlin Tan, who we just heard. And we know that you want to support all these efforts, and you do so when you call 1-800-RADIO-87 or go online to wvpublic.org and become a sustainer of your West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Just $10 a month, Chuck, just $10 a month. It may seem like a small amount to our listeners, but it helps pay for all the news and information on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You get so much for so little. Become a sustainer today. Give to keep the programs you value coming. $10 makes a big impact for us when combined with donations from other sustainers. We are looking for sustainers today. $10 will also get you a Scarlet Fiesta mug. For $10, For $10 a month sustaining gift, you get this beautiful scarlet mug. Call us now at 1-800.
You can use it when you're mug rugging, like we heard in that piece from Caitlin Tan.
Absolutely. Call us now at 1-800-RADIO-87.
I'm Elizabeth Blair with NPR's Arts Desk. The word anthem has a lot of different meanings for a lot of different people. And in our American Anthem series, we've been asking people across the country what their anthem is and why. For some, anthems are a symbol of hope. For others, they're a protest. And for some, an anthem is just something they can let loose to. But mostly, anthems capture the spirit of a community. At NPR, we do that by bringing you all the latest political news, along with the local news and arts coverage that define home for you. We work every day to be your anthem, so sing it back to us. Become a member now.
And West Virginia Public Broadcasting brings you anthems on Mountain Stage and on Inside Appalachia, the anthem, if I can be so bold to say, of the Appalachian region.
That's right.
If you give us a call right now, 1-800-RADIO-87, that's 1-800-723-4687, and become a sustainer of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And we continue to bring you that podcast, Inside Appalachia. We heard Caitlin Tan earlier, almost brand new, not quite brand new. She's been with us for a little bit, but she brings you the stories of Appalachia, of the Folkways Project. That's material goods that help spread the folk life message here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Become a member today and support this effort at wvpublic.org.
And when you do, you will be entered into the $500 Amazon gift card drawing. Now, who wouldn't like $500 this time of year, any time of year? Current sustaining members, you're already entered into this drawing. That's one of the many benefits. Call 1-800-RADIO-87.